Welcome to the Sportscast, October 19th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and follow us on Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Interesting weekend ahead for the NFL. Last night, the Broncos killed Arizona. Broncos are back at it. And KC lost against the Patriots by 3 points last weekend. And to join us, Jeff, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks a lot, Santiago. Happy to do it.
Well, Jeff, let's talk about the big game last Sunday night. What were your thoughts? First half, I saw the Patriots really going at it. But KC almost came back but lost by 3 points.
I think, too... You know, we, when it comes to sports, we tend to overreact high and low, right? Mm-hmm. And from the Chiefs' perspective, they weren't going to go 16-0. I mean, that's just the reality of it. They weren't going to go 16-0. And when you look at their schedule and when you look at what they have left, the only game that is even close to as difficult as playing in New England will be when they play the Rams on a neutral site. So it... You know, it was the first time that I thought Pat Mahomes looked a little bit young. And to credit the Patriots, they did just enough early in that game. To, you know, we always talk about with the Chiefs, what they want to do is they want to jump out to a 14-0 lead and then protect that lead, you know, running the ball and, you know, hitting the quarterback. Well, it's already hard to hit Tom Brady in the first place, but then you're playing from behind. The Patriots did a really good job of running the ball and, you know, we kind of talked about that before. We suspected maybe that's what they would do, try to keep Mahomes on the sideline. And it the one thing that did catch me off guard, and this is what, you know, one of those things that I think makes Belichick as good as he is when you watch that game early, a lot of teams play Pat Mahomes and they say, we can't let him beat us deep, right? We can't. We're going to play cover three or we're going to play a two over and we're going to keep safeties deep all the time because we don't want Mahomes to hit these 70-yard bombs. But what the Patriots did is they blitzed quite a bit, probably more than they normally do. And there were quite a few plays where Mahomes had potential touchdowns to Sammy Watkins and he just didn't see it. And then, you know, I think everybody remembers the throw on the very first drive. They got Kareem Hunt one-on-one with Hightower and he had him beat by, you know, 8 yards or whatever. So I think Mahomes was a little bit too jazzed up. And I also think the Patriots, I think they caught the Chiefs off guard a little bit. I think that they took the opposite approach and said, if they're going to beat us, we're going to make them throw it over the top. So, I think the Patriots did a good job. You know, you got to give them some credit. But I also think Mahomes will learn from it. And I also think if those two teams play again, either team would have a tremendous chance to win that game.
This past month, things have changed a lot. Seeing the Jaguars losing against the Cowboys by a lot, I think it was 40-3. Now we can say the top two teams right now in the AFC are the Chiefs and Patriots. Do you agree?
I think so. And the biggest part about this, and you know, we always say this, what sport is affected more by injury than any other sport? And it's probably far and away football. You know, yeah. In football, every team has injury. And not to discredit Kansas City or Dallas for beating Jacksonville, but the thing that doesn't get talked about with Jacksonville's downfall is that they lost a couple offensive linemen, and their left tackle was a stud, Cam Robinson, absolute stud. Fournette, the running back, absolute stud. So you take these two guys that are really, really important to the Jaguars, because even if you have a great defense, you even if your offense doesn't score a ton of points, you at least have to stay on the field a bit. And what we've seen with the Jaguars, now you can't rely on your running game. Your offensive line's beat up. So Bortles, who already is not an upper echelon quarterback, now he's getting hit all the time. So you take an average quarterback and you hit him a lot, you take away his running game, and then the defense gets hung out to dry and they're on the field all day, and that's how you see them lose the games they've lost. So I don't know exactly how they fix it, because unfortunately for them, you just can't replace the talent that there, that isn't out there right now. You know, it's not like a video game where you make a trade in week five and, or, well, I guess what, week seven now. So it's tough. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble until Fournette gets back. And even then, they have some work to do. And the defense is still great. That's the one thing I will say. The defense is probably worn out, but the defense is still great.
Looking onward for the Chiefs, the next three games are quite interesting. You'll go to the you'll be playing against the Bengals, then the Broncos and the Browns. How do you see the next 3 weeks?
Well, anything can happen. You know, the Bengals are a pretty good team. The Broncos are a division opponent. You know, with that said, I'd be really surprised if Kansas City doesn't take care of business at home. Especially this Bengals game is a little bit of a, I think it's a bad matchup for the Bengals. And that's not to say I think they're going to get blown out or anything like that. But the Bengals have great corners. They have really good safeties. They have good defensive line. But their linebackers are not very good. And now their linebacker position is really beat up. And if there's one thing that you don't want to have to do against Kansas City, it's try to find a way to stop Travis Kelce with a bunch of linebackers that are brand new. So I think, and Kareem Hunt for that matter, because, you know, Kareem Hunt will get going too. Now, the equalizer there is just that the Chiefs are missing their two best interior offensive linemen, their center Mitch Morris and their left guard Larry Tardif. I'm taking a lot of his name out there. I'm making it shorter, but
you sound about right.
But you know, both those, yeah. But both of those guys are great, and they're going to be missed. And Geno Atkins is still a big time player. But I think maybe Kansas City will shorten up the passing game a little bit early in the game, get the ball to Kelce and Hunt, and that's going to be a problem for the Bengals. And just, you know, I watched a lot of that Steelers and Bengals game. And the Bengals defense is wildly talented, but I don't know that it's very disciplined. You know, the Steelers just, every time they used any type of misdirection or any type of cutback, anything like that, it just seemed like Steelers had guys wide open all over the place. So I think it's, you know, a discipline issue. And then if once you get past the Bengals game, looking at the Broncos, you know, the Broncos obviously, you know, they won big last night. And you don't want to take any of that credit away, but I would be surprised if the Broncos put together back-to-back really good performances. And that's not to say they're just going to be a road bump for the Chiefs. They'll come out and fight a bit. But if you look back over the course of the last 2 years, the Broncos on the road have not been good at all. And the Chiefs are a really tough team to play at Arrowhead Stadium. So I would think the Chiefs will win that game. And then, truth be told, I worry a little bit about that game at the Browns just because you're going to be emotionally really high to play the Bengals in a primetime game. You're going to be emotionally really high to play the Denver Broncos in a division game. And then you go on the road, and it's easy to have that emotional letdown. So that game will be a challenge because, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say the Browns are good, but they're not the pushover that they used to be where you could show up for a half and beat them.
Let's look at last night's game. The Broncos defeated the Arizona Cardinals 45-10. Emmanuel Sanders had a good game. Now, obviously, the Cardinals are not the best team. They might be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. But the Broncos had a good win. Do you think this will give them a confidence booster?
Where I think it puts the Broncos is this. You know, maybe they're a little bit closer to average than they are bad. And I think, you know, when I watched that game, I mean, the second play of the game, the Arizona Cardinals had to call a timeout because they couldn't get their guys lined up to run a play. The second play of the game. So to me, you know, you look at that and you just say, my goodness, that's just a complete train wreck. Now, with that said, I go back and forth on the Broncos defense. The Broncos defense is not what it was, but they also have some talent on that side of the ball. And I think because they're not the dominant force that they used to be, maybe we exaggerate their demise because, you know, Bradley Chubb's going to continue to grow. Von Miller is one of the very best defensive players in the NFL. Chris Harris is still a great corner. Roby, their opposite corner, you know, he's kind of one of the keys for them because one week he plays pretty well, and then the next week every highlight you see, he's running 10 yards behind somebody. So I think for Denver, one of their keys is how that, you know, Roby plays, being their second corner. And, you know, I just think the Broncos are still a team you have to show up and be ready to play for, because if you get behind against their defense, you know, they're still a physical unit and they'll still hit you. And, you know, when we see the games that they've played poorly, a lot of times they had to play from behind. And I will say, if the Broncos fall behind, they're just not built to come back. You know, Case Keenum, I want to say, is second in the NFL in interceptions right now. And he threw another one last night that was just a brutal throw. So you can't get behind if you're the Broncos, but maybe they're a little bit better than they thought. But I still think this is a transition year for them.
Which I saw the game last week when they played the Rams and they came down to just the 3 points. Now obviously playing in Denver is tough, and the Rams are winning, have won 5 in a row and they're scraping through. But how do you see the Rams? You think the Rams are? I mean, they're still the best team right now.
When I look at the Rams, you know, they're another team that has really gone through quite a few injuries here recently. You know, and that you mentioned that Denver game, they were missing both their starting wide receivers in the second half. Wow. That's not easy for anybody to do. You know, that's tough. And then they've been missing Tlaib. Marcus Peters, I haven't watched closely enough to make a definitive statement about Marcus Peters, but it is a little bit odd that he originally was supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and then he convinced the coaches that he could play. And if you look at the numbers, he's just getting beat left and right. So it does make you think that maybe the injury is part of the problem there. So I think the Rams are kind of trying to hang tough till they get some guys back too. Because Tlaib's a difference maker. I mean, he's still really good. And if Peters can work his way back through this ankle injury, he'll make a difference. But what I worry about with the Rams is just that, you know, they have Sue and Donald on the inside who are just, you know, those guys are monsters. There's no two ways about it. Those guys are great players. But when you look at, they don't really have a consistent edge rush. And if you want your pass rush to be dynamic, you got to be able to do it inside and out, you know, because NFL teams are too good. If you have a liability anywhere, they'll take advantage of it. With that said, there aren't many great defenses, and the Rams offense can score at will. And they could, Todd Gurley, man. I mean, Todd Gurley is one heck of, I mean, he's one of the very best players in the entire NFL. So they have the ability to beat you running the ball or throwing the ball. They can stay balanced. I think if you just had to say right now who's the best team in the NFL, I think you have to say right now it's the Rams. You know, they're their most balanced team offense, and if you're looking at both sides of the ball.
And that game on the 26th, I think it's the 26th of November, they play the Rams. No, actually, it's the 19th. That should tell a lot. And they'll be playing in Los Angeles, warmer weather. So you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Well, that's actually the neutral site game. That's in Mexico City. So, yeah. And a lot will change. You know, here's the thing, you know, and we talked about how injuries make such a gigantic difference in the NFL. A lot's going to change from now till then. You know, both the Rams and Chiefs could both get guys back till then. And they, unfortunately, the reality is they could also lose some guys between now and then. So, you know, that's a little ways off yet, but yeah, that'll be a fun matchup whenever we get that. You know?
Between the Raiders, Colts, Giants, and Cardinals, who do you think is the worst team?
Cardinals. You know, you're playing a home game on a short week and you can't line up and get into your formation to run your offensive play. I mean, that is as bad as it gets. Like, that's barely NFL football. You know, that's awful. But all those teams you mentioned, none of them are very good. I mean, the Raiders, unfortunately, are just – they're just a gigantic mess. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Carr looks awful, and I think a lot of it's – I mean, some of it is. I think maybe he was overrated at one time, but nothing around him is going right to help him. They have all this turmoil between McKenzie and Gordon. I mean, yeah, not Gordon, Gruden. They have all this turmoil between McKenzie and Gruden. And it shows, you know, it just doesn't look like a good team. There's no one thing that they can, you know, claim that is their steadying of the ship. You know, they don't have a good offense. They don't have a good defense. You just don't know what they're going to do. I'll tell you, Gruden is going to do it his way. And I think what we're seeing, I just don't think that he believes Carr is the guy.
Wow.
So he's going to just, I think he's just going to tear it the entire way down to the ground again, and then he's going to draft his guys. Now, whether or not that works, we can't say that yet. We don't know. But I'll say this, for Raiders fans in the here and now today, I mean, that's got to be painful. I mean, that's difficult. You know, you ship out Khalil Mack. It looks like Carl Joseph is either going to get traded or cut. Conley's either going to get traded or cut. It's just a big mess in the near future.
Have we seen like the value that Khalil Mack has brought onto teams? You know, now he's with Chicago. Have you seen the difference he's made?
I absolutely. I mean, at this point, you could make a great case for him to be Defensive Player of the Year, and you know, Chicago already had a good defense, so Mack just kind of put them over the top. And I know he's a little bit banged up right now. I believe he sprained his ankle last week. And the Raiders miss him too. I mean, you can't replace a guy like that. I mean, everybody always says next man up and all these things, whether it's an injury or losing a guy in free agency, and that's all. You know, that's coach speak and that's nice and all those things, but Khalil Mack is one of the top, you know, he's kind of like Von Miller. Depending on what week and what matchup, you could say, you know, this is a top five defensive player in the entire NFL. You know, and Mack, we probably didn't know how good Mack was because the last couple years on the Raiders, he's been the only guy on the entire defense that anybody had the game plan for. So you could literally double team the guy and chip him and do whatever else, and it still didn't open up opportunities for other guys. So I think we're really getting to see how great he is, because the Bears do have some talent around him.
Who do you think is better, Lawrence Taylor or Mac?
Oh boy, I'll tell you what, man. We in sports, we are prisoners to the moment. Like, we want to name the new guy the best guy all the time. Look, man, I don't want to say anything to bash Khalil Mack. You know, he's a great player. But, man, Lawrence Taylor, you could make a very, very compelling argument that Lawrence Taylor is the best outside linebacker to ever play in the NFL. And I know there's some other guys in the conversation, and it's hard to pinpoint one guy and say definitively that's it. But he's at least in the conversation. You know, Lawrence Taylor was an absolute just wrecking ball animal, the leader of, you know, one of the best defenses in the history of the NFL. You know, the Giants had a couple years where all four of their linebackers could have been Pro Bowl level guys. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not make guys Lawrence Taylor just yet.
Yeah, there was a conversation with Bill Belichick, and he didn't think Mack was in the same league as Taylor yet.
No, yeah, I saw his, and I'm sure most people know this, but Belichick coached Lawrence Taylor,
yeah.
So you know, stole it up personal. So yeah, I mean it's. For a lot of us, you know, many of us in our age bracket, we saw the end of Lawrence Taylor's career.
Yeah.
So we probably overlook how dominant he was in his prime.
Yeah, that's something that it's just hard to compare history You know, it's just so hard to say, oh, who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan or Montana or Brady. You know, it's just so hard to compare different times, and it's just
– It is.
We'll just never know. It just comes down to opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right.
Who do you think was better, Montana or Brady?
I mean, I think it's a – you know, that's tough. I mean, I think you have to give it to Brady just because everything he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And he's done it with so many different groups of guys. But, you know, again, back when Montana played, you could pretty much mug the receiver until the ball was in the air. You know, so that's a lot different.
Back then, you could hit quarterbacks.
Again, it's hard. Well, yeah, and you could cheap shot the quarterback. You could take two full steps and launch yourself into him. You could practically body slam him. I mean, you know, it was definitely a different game.
Well, Jeff, this takes us to predictions. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Tennessee Titans at the San Diego Chargers.
And that is a neutral game. That's the London game.
Ooh.
And, you know, I was looking at that, and I'm not a big believer in the Titans, right? I think they look like a mess. But I keep waiting for the Chargers to lose that game that they shouldn't, because it seems like every year they're on some kind of winning streak, and then they just lose a game that makes you shake your head. I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit. I think that the Chargers are the better team, but I think the Titans will win, just because this seems like that game that the Chargers find a way to lose.
Which Mariota, he's playing with a bad hand, I heard. I heard he's kind of injured with his wrist or something.
Well, he got sacked 11 times last week, so that will generally...
That will do it.
I'm sure everything. Yeah.
New England at Chicago.
This is one I'm curious about, because the Bears' defense will not just, you know, fold. I think New England will find a way to win the game, but I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a one-score game. I think New England's going to have to win it in the fourth quarter. So I think New England will win, but it's not going to be a blowout. At least I don't think so.
You know, for the Patriots and Dolphins, you know, having both 4-2, it feels like New England has to win this game, because the Dolphins could beat Detroit this weekend. So,
yeah, and I think the Dolphins will beat Detroit. But the other thing too is Miami already had to go to New England. Historically, New England doesn't play well in Miami, and they have to go to Miami later this year. So as long as the Dolphins can hang tough, you know, they're not out of that race just yet.
Cleveland at the Buccaneers.
I kind of lean towards Cleveland a little bit. Just Tampa Bay, and I've only seen them play a little bit. You know, I saw the Monday night game against the Steelers. So on offense, the Buccaneers can be explosive, but the Browns defense, man, The Browns defense is legitimate. It has a lot of really talented players, and they're kind of starting to gel and play well together. And I just think, believe it or not, I think the Browns might be a little bit more balanced, because their offense can at least move the ball. Now, I will say this. Mayfield has to cut back on the turnovers a little bit, and I know not all of them have been his fault. I understand that. But I think the Browns will get the win. I think, again, it'll be another one of these close games, but I think the Browns will go on the road and win by a touchdown.
I have that same feeling. I mean, I really think Cleveland's going to win this game. You know, now that Winston just, you know, is just coming back into the groove of things. So it's a good opportunity for Cleveland to win. Houston at Jacksonville.
If Jacksonville doesn't get right this week, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, watching the Texans, if Peterman doesn't come into that game because of the injury to Josh Allen, the Texans probably lose at home to the Buffalo Bills. And that's rough, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Texans. We all thought Deshaun Watson was going to have a great year. And I know things around them aren't perfect either. And division games are always tricky, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars win that one pretty handily.
Yeah, this is a huge opportunity for Jacksonville to win. They got to win this just to come back and turn things around because they had two tough weeks. New Orleans Saints at the Ravens. A great offense against a great defense.
Yeah. And I lean towards the Ravens only because it's an outdoor game. And not that the Saints can't travel, but I do think they're a lot more dangerous inside the dome. And the Ravens defense, man, you know, we kind of keep waiting for the Ravens defense to come back to earth and maybe struggle a bit, and they just don't. They're just good. You know, they have talent at every level, defensive line, linebacker, and in the secondary. They're disciplined. They're physical. I mean, they really get after the quarterback. Now, Drew Brees will be a different challenge because he's not going to hold the ball real long to get sacked. But, yeah, I think the Ravens will have just enough offense to win the game. And I think they'll try to – I think what they'll try to do to New Orleans is they'll try to make it an ugly fistfight and try to slow the game down. So I could see them winning, 20-17 or 24-17.
Yeah, I agree. The Cowboys at the Washington Redskins.
I like the Cowboys in this one, and it's one reason. You know, last year when the Chiefs were trying to get their season going and the Cowboys' defense was brutal, the thing that the Cowboys' defense needed to fix their season was playing Alex Smith. And now the Cowboys' defense is actually pretty good. Their offense is trying to get it together again, which they have looked better recently. And I think the Redskins are really going to struggle to move the ball against Dallas, and I think they're going to struggle on third down. And I think the Cowboys will. And if I'm not mistaken, the Cowboys are a 2-point underdog. So this was one of those games that I felt pretty good about the underdog. I think the Cowboys will win that game.
How do you see Alex Smith at the Redskins?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Smith is what he is. You know, he can help you. You know, if you're a bad team, he can help you get back to being a good team. It's just that I think the Redskins are going to be faced with the same dilemma that both the 49ers and the Chiefs were faced with. Eventually, you know, maybe you make it to the playoffs or, you know, get within striking distance of it at least. But then when it comes time to actually go deep into the playoffs, unless everything around him is absolutely perfect, he's just not going to be that guy. So you use him to keep your team respectable, but at the same time, you have to be looking for that young quarterback to bring in behind him, which is, you know, what the Niners did with Kaepernick and what the Chiefs did with Mahomes.
Yeah, that's the same thing as Tannehill. Things have to be perfect, but there's no such thing as a perfect team at times. Cincinnati at Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, I have to go with the Chiefs. Even though they played well, you know, that loss to New England still stings a bit. You're coming home. You're playing Sunday night in Arrowhead Stadium, and I saw a statistic where I don't know if it was primetime games or Sunday night games, but either way, Marvin Lewis is 0-10. You know, in those primetime games, and Andy Dalton has not played well in primetime games. This is the first team that the Chiefs have played this entire season that I would say their opponent is more beat up than they are in terms of who's missing from the game. So I think it's just a tall task to ask Cincinnati to go into Kansas City in prime time and be a little bit underhanded and find a way to win. So I think the Chiefs to win by 10 points.
Was that a huge blow for the Bengals losing against the Steelers at home?
I think it was because, you know, when you look at it, so the Steelers have had the Bengals number. I mean, there's no two ways you can argue against that. You know, the Steelers have just really had their number. And when you look at that game, the Bengals are never going to have a better opportunity to beat the Steelers in that game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a home game. The Steelers' defense has been abysmal. And on offense, you know, Le'Veon Bell's still not back. Ben, you know, Roethlisberger, when he plays at home, generally plays really well. But these last 2 to 3 years, you know, his struggles on the road have been well documented. So if you're the Bengals, I mean, when else are you going to have a better opportunity to beat the Steelers? And they just, you know, they just didn't get it done. So when I look at that, that might have been a little bit of a gut punch to them. So that may be tough to bounce back from.
And finally, another kind of a weak Monday Night Football again, the New York Giants at the Atlanta Falcons.
Man, I'd say the Falcons because they're the home team, but that's going to be a tough game to watch. I hate to be that way, but, you know, the Giants are just going to be constantly dealing with the questions about Eli Manning because I think he's just – I think he's just done. You know, I think Eli Manning has just hit the wall. So they're constantly going to be dealing with that. You know, Beckham's frustrated. And whether you believe he should keep it in-house or not, that's one question. But it's hard to blame Beckham for being frustrated because the guy's great. You know, he's open a lot and he's not getting the ball. So that is difficult. The Falcons haven't looked good at all. And they're really, really beat up. But just being the home team, and offensively, they're really difficult to stop at home. So I think they'll score enough points, and I don't think the Giants will be able to keep up.
Which last week, the game between the 49ers and the Packers wasn't that bad. It was kind of, like, pretty entertaining.
It was a wildly entertaining game. I mean, really, the Niners played a really solid game, and I think maybe the Packers kind of – I don't want to say the Packers overlooked them. That's probably not fair. But I don't think the Packers were expecting quite that amount of pushback, and it caught them off guard when there was. So, Rodgers saved the day like he tends to do, and, you know, the Packers got the win. But it definitely – you know, it's funny because I thought, you know, me personally, I was just going to turn the game on for a couple minutes, watch a little bit, and then turn it off. Well, then it ended up being a really good game, so, you know, you couldn't turn it off when it's a one-score game and Rodgers getting the ball. So, maybe this week will turn out the same way. I don't know. I'm not banking on it.
It could because isn't a dome. Typically, like the whole dome game, and we'll see, you know, some more Saquon Barkley action, but we'll see if Eli turns up or maybe they might, you know, go, yeah. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
They better lean on Bark.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We have a couple of teams, the Raiders and the Giants, looking for quarterbacks. Jeff, how can people reach you?
Best way to follow along is at JT Falver on Twitter. And as always, mostly bad sports takes, but great barbecue.
Great barbecue never loses, right?
Never.
Well, Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago.